I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And this is a show that you don't want to miss because we have much stuff. You know, I like to have stuff before I start a show. Otherwise, I sit there and stare at the ceiling. And that's not fun to watch on the old YouTube. Right? Speaking of YouTube, why haven't you subscribed yet? What's up with that? You need to be subscribing to the YouTube channel. You say, what YouTube channel? I didn't know there was a YouTube channel. Yes, there is. Now, it may have thrown you because it's a YouTube.com whack. I like to whack. Whack Dr. Bill Bailey. D-R-B-I-L-L-B-A-I-L-E-Y. My whole name spelled out. Not just drbill.tv. Couldn't have a dot in there anyway because it's got to be a whack and a string. Without a dot. So anyway, the point is, we have currently, let me look, before I go telling you something wrong, wouldn't want to do that. We currently, at this moment, as I record this, have 348 faithful, happy subscribers. Yes. And they're all out there going, yay, Dr. Bill. I appreciate that. So, but 348 is just not enough. We need more. So if you haven't subscribed yet, go for it. All you got to do is go to youtube.com, whack, Dr. Bill Bailey, and there's a little red thingy there that says subscribe, and you just click it. One little click is all it takes. Just one. And then there you go. You'll be notified when a new DrBill.tv show comes out, this very show. You'll be notified when the handheld hack comes out, which is rare, but it does occasionally come out. You'll be notified when there's a VirtZine, the online magazine of virtualization and cloud computing. Yes, all of those shows you'll be notified about. So, that'll be good. So subscribe, please. 348 of you did it without even me even really saying much about it. So now it's your turn to just pile on. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like a football game. Just pile on to the poor quarterback. Anyway, so we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters because we broadcast over the interwebs consistently every week. And it's tiring, but I do it anyway, just because I'm dedicated. And I like to help you have a good week with your techiness and your geekery. That's what we're all about here is geekery. Okay, let's go into our first item. First item is the fabled Apple iWatch won't ship until 2015. There were those folks who were hoping that the Apple iWatch, which is a watch, you know, kind of like a Dick Tracy kind of watch. I know a lot of you are too young to know, what? What's a Dick? What, Dick Tracy? Who? Is he on the Kardashian program? No. I've never seen the Kardashian program. Maybe there is one guy named Nick Tracy for all I know. But anyway, no. He was a detective that had a comic strip. And he had a cool watch. This was back before there was cell phones. Back before there was computers. I mean, back before there was anything. Dick Tracy had this cool watch. I thought it was awesome as a little bitty kid. And he also had really cool ships that you could fly all the way to the moon. What a detective needs with a ship that flies to the moon? I don't know, but it was cool. I like those too. They were magnetic. I thought that was cool that it worked off magnetism. But I digress. The point is, eye watches. They're kind of like Dick Tracy's watch. They do all kinds of things. Well, anyway, they were hoping that the iWatch would come out in time for Christmas because that's a big sales season, and there were a lot of people that were wanting to give away iWatches for Christmas. But no, Apple's not going to make that. So this article in Recode.net, which is a website by John Pazkowski, I'm sorry I'm mispronouncing your name there, John. Anyway, so that new wearable device Apple is introducing on September 9th? That's speculation, obviously. They think they're going to introduce it then. It's going to be a while before anyone is actually wearing it. Sources in position to know tell me it won't arrive at market for a few months. It's not shipping anytime soon, said one. This mythical, not yet announced iWatch. This is pretty much ahead of the curve, right? Okay, anyway. My understanding is it's very unlikely we'll see it at retail stores until after the holiday season. Think early 2015. This is disappointing news for anyone hoping to put the device in a stocking come Christmas, but it is not unprecedented. Remember, Apple didn't ship the first iPhone until 6 months after the January unveiling, which is not to say that the gap between announcement and ship date will be that long. Just that it would be unwise to expect pre-orders for the device to begin on the Friday following its unveiling. And as usual, Apple declined to comment. They're like, why don't you just leave us alone and let us ship it whenever we're gonna ship it? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, next item. Speaking of watchery, that's not even a word. No, it isn't, Fred. It's not even close to a word. Watchery. That's like hatchery, but with watches. Hatching watches. That's not right. Anyway, point is, Samsung's Gear S is to get Nike first. Now, you might say, what? I did. No. You know, what's up with these watches anyway? Do people really think we're going to go back to wearing watches? I quit wearing watches so many years ago, I don't even remember. My arm doesn't even have a place, you know, permanently etched in itself about wearing a watch. Now my wedding ring has permanently etched a place around my finger because I wear it all the time, but not a watch. I haven't worn a watch probably since high school, which that's been a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. But anyway, these people are apparently into watches. So Samsung is coming out with a watch as well. And it was announced on Friday that the Nike Plus running app will be preloaded on the Samsung Gear 5 when it goes on sale this October. Now see, they're bringing it out in October, which is kind of next month. This is the last day of August, so we're almost into September. So if you look at it that way, kind of next month. You see what I'm saying? Okay. As I record this, obviously. Some of you may be watching in October going, what? Anyway, don't worry. The point is that the Nike Plus app, you see, will be preloaded. And it says an audio player will also be built in, so you can set your run to music with Bluetooth headphones. Perhaps Samsung's Gear Circle wireless headphones, which are announced at the same time as the Gear S. Yes. So, the main claim to fame for the Tizen-based Gear S is that it comes with a 3G connection. So, it doesn't need to be paired with a smartphone at all times, unlike Android Wear, which is another watch. The fact that the Gear S will come with a robust running app pre-installed is bad news for the Timex Iron Man GPS One, an expensive running-focused smartwatch based on Qualcomm technology that also comes with a cellular connection but lacks Samsung's ecosystem clout. Boy, this guy is an interesting writer. This is Kif Leswig from GigaOhm writing this little article. Cool. Anyway, I'm not into watches, but I thought I'd mention it because why not, you know? Okay. I had to throw this one in. This is actually cross-posted from Vert Zine, which I'm going to do after this netcast. I'll do Vert Zine, so stay tuned. But anyway, Vert Zine is the online magazine of virtualization and cloud computing at VertZine, VertZine.com, as it says there on the screen. Little plug. It's a little more a little more serious show for business folk that are into virtualization and cloud computing. But I cross-posted this app, and you'll this app. No, this article, not an app. It's an article for, and you'll see why in just a moment. All right, here we go. Microsoft's cloud computing service has a five-hour outage. You knew I had to mention it because Microsoft is having a hard time, right? Yes. It's the only reason I bring it up. Microsoft's Azure cloud computing service, a critical part of Chief Executive Satya Nadella's plan to remake the software company, experienced a major global outage Monday that lasted for around 5 hours. It was down hard. If you're not a system administrator, you may not be familiar with that term, down hard. That means we're not just going to reboot this sucker and it comes back up. It's down hard. Okay? So, Microsoft's cloud computing service, which competes against rival businesses from Google and Amazon.com, that would be like Amazon S3, which I use to post this program into the cloud. Well, anyway, Azure competes against them. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Anyway, they say here that they also experienced other outages in August. It's unusual for cloud service suspensions to affect more than one data center, but this Microsoft's most severe Azure interruption since storage tools went offline in February of 2013. They've had a few issues, but then they're Microsoft, so you gotta give them the fact that they are going to have issues since they're Microsoft. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Whoa! Thank you, Fred. Geek Software of the Week drumroll is there to tell us that it's time for a Geek Software of the Week. Now, this is a Geek Software of the Week that I wrote down in a little file, and I put it away in my Dropbox, and I kept saying, I've got to get to that one. I've had it for almost a year, but it's still a good one. All right? It's been sitting there going, hello, Dr. Bill, please. Anyway. In my imagination. So, this is called Windows X Kill. I know it sounds like it's killing Windows. I just had a Microsoft thing where I was talking about dissing Microsoft. It's not that kind of killing, okay? But Microsoft, like other operating systems, I can't really blame Microsoft for this one. There's a lot of operating systems that when you run the program, it puts up a screen, and the screen locks up. And you can't get rid of it no matter what you do. The only thing you can usually do is do Control-Alt-Delete, go into the program manager, find the offensive or offending program, and kill it. And sometimes that will work and sometimes it won't. Well, in Linux, a lot of Linux distributions, there is a command called xkill. And usually it's a little skull and crossbones, kind of like that, on your screen. And so, you know, down in the corner, usually down in the tray. And so you click on it and then you drag the little skull and crossbones over the program that is stuck and go bam, and it blows up. Not your computer, just the program that you wanted to get rid of. It's very cool. Some of them in Linux even have a little effect where it looks like it just goes into a cloud. It's kind of cool. But Windows xKill doesn't do that. No, it just runs on Windows, sits in your tray, and then you right-click on the tray icon, and you can enter kill mode, which makes the little skull and crossbones turn a different color, and then you drag it across your screen to the window and drop it, and it goes, like the sound effect. Anyway, it does away with the program. Cool. So anyway, it says here, this is what the writer of the program says about it. Okay, for those of you that have ever used Linux, then there may be a chance you have had the had a chance to use xkill. Okay, I read that wrong apparently. But for those of you that never use Linux, here's a good summary for you. For you. Yes, not for you. See, it's like a country thing. I'm fur ya. You know, anyway. An app. It's one of those programs. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. An app that you're using freezes, and your first thought is Control-Alt-Delete, bring up Task Manager, and then you have to wade through all the processes to find said frozen app and kill it. Or you can use xkill. Using a system-wide hook in xkill, when it's running, just press Control-Alt-Backspace. So, a little different method of operation there. Control-Alt-Backspace. And you will see a skull and crossbones followed behind your cursor. When you click on the next item, say the frozen application, it will kill it. Yes. Think of it as a 357 Magnum to the head of the offending program. I'm sorry for those of you that don't like guns. Deal with it. Anyway, xkill. How cool is that? Now the next item we have is Alienware. Area 51 Desktop. You gotta love Alienware for coming up with these names. Alien 51 Desktop. And it is one cool looking machine. Check this out. Doesn't that look cool? Anyway. It is, there's a YouTube video here about it, and you can watch that, and it's really awesome, so you ought to check it out. Go to the blog. The blog, of course, is drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. Go to that blog, and you will find the Alienware Area 51 Desktop article. It's not an article, it's more of a post of the YouTube video. Click on that, watch it. Good for you. It's fun. Okay, this last article, I had already heard of this once, but this article actually makes it much more fun than I thought it was already. Apparently, there are great thinkers out there that are philosophers. Yes. And one of them has decided, he wrote a paper on this, and this is what I love about the paper. It was published in Philosophical Quarterly in 2003. Who knew there was a Philosophical Quarterly? All the philosophers get together and go, well, I'm thinking deep thoughts about this. Well, apparently this guy decided that if one day we humans could eventually write a program that simulated the universe. You know, they have computer simulations of all kinds of things. And he said, assuming that we can one day write a program that will simulate the universe, then it must be, now get this, think with me here, his logic, and I put that in quotes, his logic is that if we humans can eventually, which we haven't yet done, eventually write a program that will simulate the universe, then we already are in a computer simulation, ipso facto. What? That's just not the way logic works. You know, in other words, it'd be like saying, I have an apple and I have one in my hand. Let's say I'm pretending now, okay? It's not really there. But I have an apple in my hand. I put it on the table. That must mean that I'm an apple. What? That's about the level of intelligence of this thing. But anyway, so they've decided that they must find out for sure if we're in a computer simulation, and they've come up with a way to do it, they say, they're going to have an experiment. See, this way they get to say it's science instead of nuts. Anyway, they're going to have an experiment. Let me see if I can find the experiment. The point of the holometer, I don't know, experiment is that it will be able to reveal via the pixelation effect if our universe is indeed a hologram. I'm not kidding you. This is real. They're actually going to do this experiment. Okay. So it will achieve this by putting two interferometers really close to each other, creating laser beams and observing possible jitters when they interact. If there are certain kinds of wobbles, and I'm not making this up, folks. If there's certain kinds of wobbles in the laser beams interaction, that means we actually live on a surface of a flat plane and only perceive our universe to be in three dimensions. And the article says, and this is where the cosmic horror seeps in. There was an influential piece published in the Philosophical Quarterly in 2003, which I mentioned earlier, arguing that we probably are living in a computer simulation, and this argument has nothing to do with the physical experiments now being carried out. The philosophical argument pivots on the point that if humanity continues surviving and computer technology continues advancing, and we will eventually reach a stage where it will be possible to simulate the entire planet and all of its living beings, at some later stage, creating these simulacra of Earth will become cheap and common, just like building mobile apps. This means that ultimately there will be billions or trillions of simulations of the universe that offer nearly perfect fidelity. Nearly, but not quite, because at the heart of these fake universes there will be some pixelation, if you burrow deep enough. And those Fermi geeks are about to burrow deep. After we find out whether we live in a hologram, we can all go back to focusing on Twitch's valuation and whether the iPhone 6 will feature a sapphire screen. But deep inside, we'll be shriveling in horror about the possibility that we live in a simulation, not knowing whether it's some distant sequel to Sim City or Gears of War with a really long epilogue. Kudos to the guy that wrote this article, Taro Kutian from BGR online. Dude, isn't it cool that there are people out there that are nuttier than me that are doing experiments to demonstrate whether or not we live in a hologram? I know I don't live in a hologram, because if I lived in a hologram, I could push the button on this remote and I would disappear. Watch. See? It didn't work, did it? Oh well. Join us next time. Remember, until then, that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.